We sit glued to the TV set all night
and every day.
Why go into the outside world at all?
It's such a fright.
We got nothing better to do than watch TV and have a couple.
Hello and welcome to TV Times 3, episode number 27. I'm Ray from ramblingsofatvwhore.com.
I'm Jason the TVaholic from tvaholic.com.
And I'm Emery from mytakeontv.com.
Hi.
Hi. We're all back together.
We are. Woo.
Ray is done with her longest vacation in history of the universe.
I'm done hiding my baby bump. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, God.
How I met your mother.
Because we were just discussing off screen my upcoming nuptials, which are not actually happening. And now Ray has a child.
You know it's not true because I didn't Twitter from the delivery room.
If you haven't listened in weeks, you're screwed. You missed a whole lot of personal information.
Exactly. There's a lot of stuff that happened off screen. Off podcast. Off speaker. Off speaker.
Off podcast. It's like off Broadway.
off.
Okay.
All right. Woo!
What are we doing today?
We're podcasting.
Thank you for stating the obvious.
Okay, news. Things I have written down here is that for whatever reason, NBC has renewed the Celebrity Apprentice to come back next spring.
They have room on the schedule for an hour of Celebrity Apprentice, but we're pretty sure Life is going to be canceled. That makes me so mad. I hate it.
First, Jason, I think you should insert some crickets chirping there. We didn't say anything.
Insert some chippets and see what happens.
Where could I find chippet sound effects? I'm sure if I searched online, I could find them.
Oh, so good to be back. So good to be made fun of. Yeah, it's because of who they had this season, right? They had pretty good ratings, haven't they?
Yeah,
even though
not
it sucked this season before.
Next year.
I know. Although, didn't they ask about bringing... What did I see about Joan coming back? Joan and
well,
Melissa
she
coming
left, back. Even though she wasn't fired. Spoiler alert. Because her daughter was fired, and they don't know if she's coming back.
Gotcha. That must have been what I saw. There was some clip from her talking to Ellen or something, like them making fun of each other for what they did on the show. I don't know. Obviously, I don't watch the show. I have no interest in the show.
I hope Jesse James wins.
I don't really want to see it. It means I can't have something else. What?
I said I hope Jesse James wins.
Are you watching the show?
No, I just know he's on it.
Okay.
Anyway... Next.
What about Disney ABC partnering with Hulu? And
yeah,
Fox
about
and
time, ABC? Because ABC's video player sucks.
That's the one video player where when it works and, you know, you get a pretty good picture with their HD stream, but it's the when it works part that's the problem. I've had it actually crash my system. trying to go out on the, you know, into the web browser and watch a video, and then you got to, you know, completely just hit restart and reset and come back.
Prior to getting my new computer at work, I had that problem when I would try to watch stuff during lunch, but ever since I got my new computer, I've had absolutely no trouble with it. So obviously their programmers kind of suck. Hopefully, partnering with Hulu will eliminate that problem. Now, my question is, when will CBS get on board?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because I could care less about CBS being on there so much as I want the CW shows on there, and I'm assuming that's because that's the same organization.
Yeah.
Anyway, what else do we have?
I have written down ABC Family has canceled Roommates.
Shocker.
Yeah.
Hey, did they cancel the other one already?
Yeah, that was canceled okay. First.
Apparently they dropped it, but that show actually got picked up for a second season in Canada.
Really?
Yeah, Sophie, I heard that from somebody that...
God!
That it actually did well, or well enough up there when it aired, which is bizarre.
Yes.
Yeah, but yeah, they canceled Roommates, but they've been playing, which was seemed sort of obvious when they started playing 4 episodes last week. And then they're going to play like the last 4 this week.
It wasn't really that good.
It was a huge Friends ripoff. It was if every storyline you'd pretty much seen.
I know, but see, here's the thing. And I can kind of understand why they did it. Like, I could see it appealing to younger kids, like teenagers or whatever. But I just don't think that there's as many of those kids watching ABC Family. Although I guess they're watching Secret Life of American Teenager, so. I mean, I felt when I watched it, it felt like a slightly older Disney or Nickelodeon type of show.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, which those are all ripoffs of old shows, too. You just, they're just young. Like, they're for kids. I don't know.
All right.
What else?
And then CBS has moved Harper's Island to Saturdays, which when you're listening to this, it'll have started the previous Saturday.
No big shocker. The ratings weren't there. It's not a terrible show. I'm enjoying what I've seen so far. Not loving it, but I'm watching it.
It is kind of interesting, though, that, like, apparently a repeat Criminal Minds did better.
That's because it's a CBS show. Like, CBS has those shows that people will watch them if they're all, even if they're repeats.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, if Harper's Island had been on another station, it probably would still be on the original night. I mean, it would still get the same ratings, but
yeah.
They would say, well, we're going to keep it there because it's not, you know what I mean, doing so bad for us. But I can understand why CBS is like, we got to put it on a night where we don't get as many good ratings anyway. So anything we can get from it would be fine. I hope that they do air the whole thing, though.
It'll be interesting to see what tonight's ratings do.
How many people know?
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing is when Kings aired and then it dropped, you know, so big compared to what it was doing on Sunday nights that they pulled it till summer. But I don't think that they're going to do that with Harper's Island since they're already 5 episodes in or whatever, or 4 episodes in. And then, the other show that was started on Thursday nights, NBC has announced that they're going to pick up Southland for a second 13-episode season.
Did they officially announce it? Like, I know that, like, Kudlitz said it on Twitter, the guy who plays John Cooper, and, like, Hollywood Reporter wrote it, but I don't know if NBC officially announced it.
Yeah, I saw something about it, but I don't know. It sounds like it's pretty...
Yeah, oh, it's pretty, like, guaranteed. But
pretty much going to happen.
They're calling it a phenomenon, even though it's pulling in fewer demos than Chuck.
Yeah, well, as it drops week over week over week, and relatively significantly from where it started to where it is now, is like 2.5-3 million viewers or so. But, you know, as long as the NBC promo guy says it's a hit, then...
Mm-hmm.
Then it's a hit.
Then it must be a hit. And speaking of things that NBC should renew... It's been announced that they're delaying their decision on Chuck for a week or two.
Damn you, NBC.
That can't... I mean, is that a good or a bad sign?
I don't know. On one hand, you would think it's a good sign because...
Well, it's obviously not based on Chuck anymore. Like, it must be based on other things, right?
That they're trying to figure something out or whatever they're trying to do. But in some respects... It's like, what takes so long to make these decisions? And I guess it just gives everybody another week or two to send messages, emails, notes, letters, boxes of nerd candy, you know, or whatever, to show support for the show.
Yeah.
I just need to know. I'm trying to make travel plans. I need to know these things.
Exactly, exactly.
Now it seems like it's not going to be announced until the actual, seems like until the actual upfront week when they actually announce their schedule.
Yes, I'm guessing that's how long we'll have to wait. I guess the other reason they could be waiting is because they have pilots being made, and maybe some of those pilots aren't
quite done or haven't...
aren't quite where they need them to be to make a decision about them, so... to watch them and make a decision. So, I don't know. Okay. Anything else, news-wise?
That's all I have written down.
I'm shaking my head like you guys can see me. No.
I was wondering what that rattling sound was.
Hey, wait.
I guess the only other thing I wanted to say was sad news for... that's NBC, right? Nora O'Brien.
Yeah. Oh, my God. How about that?
Just wanted to say our thoughts go out to everybody at NBC and all her friends and family who worked with her. It's very sad to lose somebody so young. So quickly.
So suddenly.
No. Sad news. Yes. Okay, sorry. Didn't mean to bring us down.
Leave it to Ray.
I just wanted to make sure we said something.
No, absolutely. You're right. All right.
Okay. And on that note, let's move into... That's so bad. On that sad note, let's move into the topic of the week.
All right. Now, who's this topic from? Let's hear it.
Brian Hunt.
And the topic is...
God! Take it away, Jason.
Well, he wrote in. He said, I've only been listening to the show for a couple of weeks, but I'm hooked. Thanks, Brian.
Yeah, Brian! Woo!
He says, I love it.
That hook you've got in you. Okay, anyway, what?
He says, I love it. So... that's always good to hear. And he says, I have a topic that I'd like you guys to discuss. In the late 70s through the early 90s, there were an abundance of African-American sitcoms. Some quite good, The Cosby Show, Good Times, and some really bad. These shows were on during a time when racism was still very prevalent. For the past few years, there has been a noticeable lack of African-American, Hispanic, etc. sitcoms on television. The very few that we do have are not well written, don't stay on the air, or are crappy reality shows. Although I do enjoy Everybody Hates Chris.
Yeah, me too.
Why do you think in this day in time where America is much more accepting, do we have such a lack of good ethnic TV shows? Your input would be greatly appreciated.
Amory, would you like to start with your observation about us?
So I had an observation, and I didn't want to offend anybody or sound like a total loser, but...
Well, you got to go with your strength.
Exactly. Right? I have to preface the conversation with Ray and Jason and I are three of possibly the whitest people that I know. So I don't want to... I just have to say that.
It's true, though.
But that does not mean we can't discuss the topic. I was thinking about this, too, because, like, now the majority of everything you see is pretty white, but we're supposed to be this tolerant country that, like, everything's equal, and but it's not on TV, and I don't have an answer why. Thoughts?
Well, one of my answers would be that I'm not sure that Hollywood is as tolerant as maybe the country is, but I would say there's probably a lot of, I was going to say inequality. That's not a word.
Isn't it?
I don't know. There's a lack of equality.
There you go.
On a lot of levels in Hollywood, I would say, not just ethnically, but like, you know, gender and other ways. Sexuality, whatever. Sexual preference, I should say. So I don't think it's because the country, you know what I mean? Like, I think there's somewhat who's making the shows or who's approving the shows more so than who's making the shows. Maybe. I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's about who's enjoying the shows because, as Brian pointed out, like, The Cosby Show, Good Times, Different World, which was an offshoot of The Cosby Show. Like, those were really popular.
I loved Different World. I loved that show.
The Jeffersons. Like, those shows were all really popular when they were on, so, and there was a lot more inequality, whatever the word is.
I'm pretty sure inequality is the word.
Are you sure? Doesn't sound right. Anyway, whatever the word is, there was a lot more of that back then when they were really popular, so I don't know what quite causes it. Like, why?
Yeah, I don't think that people aren't ready to accept it. I mean, but like Brian said, shows that are written, like, they suck now. I don't know.
I was going to say that is part of the reason, I think, is some of the things that do come out are not good. And that's why they don't stay on the air. I think overall, if you produce something that is good and will draw viewers, it's most likely it's going to get on the air. But I don't really know why there is such. I was trying to think of what shows there are right now, and pretty much Everybody Hates Chris and Tyler Perry's House of Pain are probably the two of the most well-known ones that are out right now. The others are like The Game, and then there's Tyler Perry's Meet the Browns that have
Girlfriends, but, you know, used to be out, gone now.
Yeah, Girlfriends.
I love Girlfriends so much.
And but relatively recently there was, you know, like My Wife and Kids on ABC and the Bernie Mac Show on Fox and
man,
you know,
I miss the Jamie Foxx Show. Sorry.
And shows like
Jamie Foxx. I love the Jamie Foxx
Show. Yeah, Jamie Foxx Show. Like, you start going farther back, you know, Martin, Living Single,
That's
Fresh
the thing.
Prince,
like,
of Bel-Air.
Going farther back, there was good shows produced, but now it's, and I hate to say this, but I almost think that the shows are becoming stereotypical, like stereotypically, like, trying too hard to focus on a singular audience. When, like, My Wife and Kids, that was a black family that appealed to everybody. You know what I mean? And
right.
That was more the, yeah, it was The Cosby Show.
Right,
sort of,
like, it was written for everyone to enjoy, and I don't know that they're that. I don't know. I'm sounding totally ridiculous and like a racist, and I do not mean to sound that way.
No, I mean it's a concern on the network side that a show be universally appeal. You know, mm-hmm. have a universal appeal to it in order for them to pick it up, because they don't. As much as it might be great to have a show that's African American. Only appeals to African Americans, and that's not a wide variety of their, you know what I mean, like, that doesn't pull in the audience they need, then they're not going to put it on. So they have to have a show that is both, I guess, has both of the appeal. I don't know. Like, I don't.
What you mean? I know what you mean. Like, the new show that's coming out on TNT, Hawthorne, it's, you know, Jada Pinkett Smith stars, but it just seems like it's going to be another one of a strong woman, and it's what's the word, advertised as, you know, a strong woman character. And I think that networks, and I don't know why, they're afraid to shy, like, they're not calling it the strong African-American woman. It's just a strong woman, and they're sticking with that thing, and then hopefully it'll have, like, a more universal appeal. And I don't know why. I wish I had an answer.
I would say that the shows that do bad are the ones that try to, like, just make it, like, I don't know how to say this the politically correct way, because I'm not
no,
that person.
I know what you mean, though. Like, they have, like, yeah, like, is there a way to tag this on iTunes as politically incorrect? Because I'm trying not to be, and I don't want to sound like a bunch of jerks.
Here's the thing about it, okay? I would watch any show. I don't care about the color of the skin of the people on the show or the ethnicity of them. I don't care. All of it appeals to me. Like, human stories appeal to me. So I could care less. But I think the pitfall is when the story maker, the storyteller, tries to, instead of telling that person's story, tries to tell the story of a black person. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, instead of focusing on Pete, I'm just coming up with a name, sorry. Instead of focusing on Pete, you know what I mean? Like, I don't understand. I don't know how to explain what I mean. But I think the pitfall is that some tales, instead of, like, Everybody Hates Chris, I think people like it because it's not about being black. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's about being Chris Rock. It's not about right. being black. So, like, even though there's a lot of it there that is pretty... I don't know how to say the right how to say that. Oh my God, I'm tumbling over my words. Like, it's very, like, obviously very specific to the way he grew up. And a lot of that was influenced by his skin color and, you know what I mean, how he was treated and so on and so forth. But it's really about his story. It's not about his skin color.
Right.
And I think where shows get it wrong is where they focus on the skin color versus the story. And I don't know if that's why those shows don't exist or if it's a combination of executives thinking they want audience plus not having the story. I don't know. I don't know how many – it's kind of interesting. I don't know how many – what the ethics. That's not the word I'm looking for. What the ethnic makeup is of writers in Hollywood, like, trying for TV. Like, I don't know what the diversity is there. You know what I mean? I mean, obviously, we know Shonda Rhimes is African American, but
and that's a situation where Shonda Rhimes, she writes universally. I mean, I hate her storylines anymore, but the stories she tells, no matter what the color of your skin, you care about these characters,
right? Like, she's not writing.
Yeah, well, I was trying to think of other shows that are on right now that aren't necessarily like a full cast where, you know, pretty much everybody is African American or. But whether it's more of an ensemble or there's a strong lead or main character. And, you know, so you have, like, the two Shonda Rhimes shows with Grey's Anatomy and Private Practice and then also The Unit. But I was trying to think of... It's too funny. I can go through and, you know, I'm trying to think of all these different shows and until I read the email or even, you know, tried to think about it, I don't... think about, like you were saying, Ray, I don't think about necessarily, you know, the skin color of an actor. I think of exactly. whether, if it's a comedy, whether I'm laughing or not, and if it's, you know, a drama, whether, you know, it has interesting characters and what, you know, what they're doing. And so I really don't know why they're, because it seems, you know, it seems like there's obviously, proof with the shows before that.
Yeah, but they still weren't about there. I think it was just because they had strong characters, and maybe as Amory was saying, the TNT show will be a door for that because Jada Pinkett Smith is a pretty strong actress. They had strong, like, ethnic people at the center of them, and I think that's why they ended up being what they were. I mean, you have Bill Cosby. You know what I mean? And all of the shows that were an offshoot of the Bill Cosby show, it was made up of, you know what I mean? Like, it was all because he started it there and managed to find people who were strong in that area.
Right.
I don't know what I'm saying there, but.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I wish I understood the mind of an executive because, and I say this about the topic, because it really shouldn't matter. Like, and it doesn't, like you guys are all saying, it doesn't matter. I don't know why people aren't finding shows. Like, I don't know why shows aren't being produced where, like, a whole family, versus having to find, you know, having to fill out their cast with, you know, that token person. Why we can't build a show that's, you know, full of heart, full of comedy, full of whatever, but just have them have a different skin color. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I don't know.
I have to say that is the one time I guess I do maybe notice something like that, is when you do have a show, and then all of a sudden, they bring on, you know, one character.
Because they were told they weren't, like, what's the word I'm like?
Diverse.
But that's always weird to me, because I don't like anything that changes a story, you know, for some outside thing, if there's not a good reason inside the show to do it. But then on the other hand, you know, you have like an addition of, you know, Charlie on the West Wing, which turned out to be, you know, for a good portion of it, a really good storyline.
I don't know who Charlie was. I've never seen the West Wing.
Well, he would be half of your favorite psychic detective.
Dulé Hill.
Agency.
Okay, Dulé Hill. Okay. I don't know. I think that it's not going to be solved by us, but most of our topics aren't ever solved by us. But it's an interesting conversation to start to have.
I think, again, it's just a combination of things. Like, I think it's partly, as we said, like, the writing, like, the shows aren't there. Like, people haven't been trying to get those shows picked up, I think, probably. Although I have no idea, because I don't see all the shows that people try and don't get picked up, right? But also, like, I think some of it is also they don't have the, I don't know about the interest is there either.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, some of it is like, well, you know, you have a show like Everybody Hates Chris, and it's good, but yet, you know, now it's on Fridays, but it's been on other nights, and it hasn't done, you know, hugely well. It's done modestly well for the CW, and so it, you know, it kind of ends up, like, on the bubble as whether it's going to come back or whether it's not. But I think it's like any other show, if people aren't watching, it's not going to come back. And I have the same question about whether a show has a whole African-American cast or it doesn't, of why nobody's watching it. I don't know. There's shows out there that are good that nobody's watching that have, you know, or, you know, a pretty good show, like, say, at least I think it's good, like The Unusuals. It has a diverse cast. But, you know, it's not coming back. nobody's watching it on Wednesday nights after Lost. But I have no idea why people aren't trying it out or giving it a shot, or the people that have gone away from it. And so it's hard to point out whether it's because, you know, why, you know, to think of it in just terms of, you know, race or a show, you know, ethnic TV show or what have you, as a possible reason, I have no idea why nobody watches lots of different shows, no matter who the cast is.
And what it always boils down to at the end of one of our topic conversations, we don't know. Long story short, and as painfully short and sighted as it sounds, we don't know. And we'd be interested to hear everybody else's thoughts on why they think this is happening or isn't happening, or what they're up to.
And we would like to hear from Brian, and if...
if we offended anybody. That's what I want to say. Because we did not mean to offend anybody.
If our input was greatly appreciated after giving it...
after we actually...
He may have changed his mind. How about hanging with Mr. Like Cooper? Before?
Oh my god, I love that show.
I know you do, that's why I said it.
I love hanging with Mr. Cooper.
There really were a lot more.
Family Matters.
Oh my god!
I loved Family Matters.
See, like,
you know, even something like In Living Color. And, you know, Different Strokes, 227, Martin, Living Single, A-Man.
And another thing, and I think this is kind of maybe where Ray's thought is heading, is it that there's just not as many, like, I don't know, they've been burned too many times before, so, like, we're not seeing a new crop of, I don't know.
Go ahead. I was going to say, like, there's certainly plenty of, like, African-American and ethnic, like, actors out there. Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering if there's not as many who are both the actor-creator types. Do you know what I mean?
Because a lot of that was very involved in his own show. And you know, Bill Cosby, we talked about
him. Yeah, like a lot of those people were.
Show. The Wayans brothers, they have a big name in movies, but they're not on TV anymore.
We see a lot of those, like, a lot of comedy shows, the lead person in the show is often involved with getting the show started, or I don't know if that's because they're...
Right.
Because they try to take from their, like, a comedy stand-up into, like, a TV show, or how they do it, but...
Those, a lot of the ones back in, the, you know, like, they were a comedian trying to kind of move that into...
Right, they still have it today, like, the Bill Ingvall show on TBS, it's because Bill Ingvall, you know what I mean? Like, it's the same type of thing. Or George Lopez, or, you just mentioned it a little while ago, Bernie Mac, you know what I mean? Like, and I'm just wondering if we don't have quite as many of those people overall trying to do that, and two, I mean, it is true that until recently the sitcom was kind of dying off for a little while. Probably we'll see a resurgence now that we're having a recession, and everybody knows everybody wants comedy during a recession, so.
They don't care if it's good comedy.
Yeah, apparently.
Parks and Rec is certainly a part of that.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, like, I just wonder if there's, like, a lack of those people overall, and maybe a lack of those people, of ethnic people who are, you know what I mean, interested in being all sides of a show. I don't know.
I think there's some of that, but I also think there's some of, you look back, and you have, like, this whole, you know, years and years of history, and you can come up with a giant list, what seems to be a pretty giant list of shows. But kind of if you go back at the time, how many other shows, you know, you can say that, you know, the Cosby Show was a hit, but how many other shows were there around that same time? You know, at any given time, was there really any, you know, any more or any less than there are right now in some respects?
I don't know. We'd have to compare. I mean, all I can remember at the time is the Cosby Show, so apparently I wasn't watching anything else. I'm sure I was.
And so I don't know overall if it just seems like less or what.
But I'd say there's less, but I don't know that there's that much less than we had before.
I think there may be, it may seem like less because there's no hit, like, big hit show. Like, there's nothing there's not a Cosby Show or, you know, a Fresh Prince of Bel-Air or something like that that's,
I love that show,
that's pulling in, you know, that's pulling in, you know, big ratings on par with, you know, being listed in the top 10 or top 20, you know, ratings wise every week.
Mm.
And so that may be part of, but he's, you know, part of his question is, why do you think that, you know, there isn't one, basically? And like I said before, I have no idea.
Yeah, I have
why
nothing.
Ethnic or otherwise that certain shows don't draw an audience. I wish I did, because then, you know, then everybody would be watching Chuck.
<You know? Yeah.
laughs> And I wouldn't be having to wait 2 weeks to find out whether it's coming back or not.
Ray, are you sneezing?
I was not sneezing. I was singing. I was laughing at myself singing the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air theme song in my head over and over again. All right, sorry.
Long story short, we don't know.
Sorry, Brian.
But maybe we get the process rolling and people can start talking about it and let us know what they think.
Exactly.
Prime time!
Prime time.
You know what show I miss, and this has nothing to do with anything? Alex Mack.
That was a good show.
Anyway.
This non sequitur was brought to you by
Tigger and Friends. Anyway. What do we have to talk about in prime time?
Something we haven't talked about in a while, because I haven't been here.
Like a decade, because Ray's been away. Having Ray Jr.
I'm not even go there. The Amazing Race.
The Amazing Race. I officially hate everyone that's left.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Why do you
it just
hate
makes
everybody?
It difficult. No, I don't hate everybody. I hate Margie and Luke.
Yeah, I'm not fond of them myself.
Well, here's why. And I've said this on many occasions. That whole thing where Margie and Keisha and Jen, or Luke and Keisha and Jen got in a fight and, like, they called each other bitch or whatever. It wasn't because Luke is deaf that they called him a bitch. They called him a bitch because he elbowed her in the face.
Right. Well, they called him a bitch because it's a race and they're heated and things
and
are happening.
And he elbowed them in the face. Like, he was just being a jerk. Not because he was deaf. Okay? So for them to get to the mat and then Margie be like, my son has had to put up with this all of his life. What, because he's been a dick his whole life? No.
Maybe.
It has nothing to do with him being deaf. And they weren't laughing because he was deaf. They were laughing because they're tired. Okay, maybe I do have a favorite, and it's Keisha and Jen. I don't know. I hate Margie and Luke.
I don't love Keisha and Jen. Like, I could be okay with them winning, but I don't love them.
Yeah.
Like, some of their comments about the... I don't remember exactly what they said. They made comments about the Chinese people at the airport that I was like, oh, come on. Like,
yeah. No, I agree. Some of the, they were like kind of
not politically correct. Yeah. Like, I'm not politically correct, but I am not like, I never say anything with malicious intent like that. Like, exactly. It felt kind of like, I don't know. It just bugged me.
No, I know what you mean. Because I thought the same thing. Like, come on, guys. Come on. That's not cool.
And it wasn't like in the heat of the moment either. Like, they were just having a conversation about it. So I wish I could remember what they said exactly. It was something about the way they speak or something. They don't understand. So they just give us that, oh, that dumb look or something.
Right.
Because they don't understand what we're saying. So, or they pretend like they don't understand. So they just give us that dumb Chinese look or something like that. It was something like that. It bugged
me. All I can think of right now is, really, Liz?
I don't know what that means.
It's a 30 Rock reference.
Oh, I wouldn't get it.
Well, you wouldn't.
Whatever.
In the previous episode, every time Salma Hayek came into the room, Liz would yell, Puerto Rican!
Puerto Rican!
And she would go, really, Liz?
Gotcha.
Joke's always better when you have to explain it.
Exactly. I don't mind. I know you don't like them, but I think that Tammy and Victor have actually, like, I kind of like them now.
Okay, so maybe because everybody else has been fighting and they haven't really had a lot of screen time, maybe I do like them a little better.
Hey, but they haven't really fought either.
Good for them for being able to speak Chinese. That's brilliant. That's so lucky for them. And I love that they're making fun of the other contestants in their native language. Whatever. I think it's awesome.
You know, anybody else would do the same thing if they spoke the language and nobody else did.
Exactly. Tammy and Victor using their language. Well, yeah. If you spoke Spanish and you were in Spain, you would do the same thing.
Well, I was laughing when they were getting mad at them. Like, they could tell that they were saying something to the ticket counter person. But just a couple episodes, somebody else told the ticket counter people that we're in a race, don't let them get ahead of us. So it was like,
exactly.
Okay, so they're doing the same thing in a different language. So anyway. I will say that the good thing about it is that I will go into the final leg of the race, which is not this week. I think it's the next week. It's always like Mother's Day. Annoying.
Yeah.
I will go into it without being like tense because I don't really care who wins. I just don't want Margie and Luke to win, but I don't really care who wins. So I won't be like as tense as I would be if I was watching it and one of my favorite teams was in the finals. You know what I mean? Because then I would be like, okay, please make it. Please make it.
Right. Exactly. I agree.
Who do you think will be in the final three?
I think the final three will be Tammy and Victor.
Yep.
Margie and Luke.
Ugh. Okay.
And the cheerleaders.
I'm going to guess that there's going to be some bunching.
Yeah, they have to at this point.
Which, if Keisha and Jen can actually like keep their heads on, I'm going to say that Keisha and Jen make it instead of Carrie, Kara, and Jamie.
Maybe. Yeah, but I definitely think it's going to be Tammy and Victor and Margie and Luke. Which
is going to be
Margie and Luke.
I know, but they're going to be in the finals, so what are you going to do? All right. I think we're done with that topic.
I think we are, too.
What's next?
Chuck Me.
So good.
I love this show.
It was so good.
It was so good. I was not as in love with the end as everybody else was, but I liked all the rest of it.
Well, I love that line from Casey where he's just like, Chuck me. But I like that halfway through, I clicked the thing up to see what time it was on the TV and noticed that it was only halfway through. And I was like, oh my God, really? That much has happened and we're only halfway through? And I couldn't, you know, I was like, I can't wait for this commercial break to be over so we get back to, it was so good.
It really was so good.
I mean, the Jeffster performance.
Oh my God, Jeffster.
At the same time with the, you know, and then Casey parachuting in to save the day.
I really wanted to see the wedding cake. I know that the ice sculpture fell, but I was wondering what happened to the wedding cake. I guess when the, Then when the sprinklers came on, I was like, well, there goes the wedding cake.
Yeah. Poor Ellie.
Poor Ellie. It's not what she wanted anyway.
I think that something was going to happen on the beach, though. Like, I was like, oh my God, someone's going to get shot. Something's going to happen. It kept me on the edge of my seat, that's for sure.
Well, I figured because they'd already done it with the other wedding that nothing was going to happen on that one.
But I liked Casey turning into, like, the Uber wedding planner, like picking out fabrics and
found it out
and getting, you know, a security clearance to have a wedding on the beach.
Just a fantastic show. And curse you all who don't watch it and are the reason that it may not be renewed.
Well, I can second that. Come on, people. I need to see it next season. Come on. I love the show.
Especially now that Chuck knows Kung Fu. Spoiler alert for those of you who didn't watch it.
Yeah, but do you think that he retains that knowledge?
No. I think the thing they're going to play with next season, when they get another one, is that when he flashes on something, he may flash something different each time that would hopefully be helpful. Like, he might flash knowing a foreign language, or he might flash, you know, some other type of skill or something like that.
But I don't understand how it takes it away.
Well, it's sort of the same as that, you know, he doesn't, you know, he would flash on photos and get bits and pieces of information and stuff like that. I think part of it will be that it won't, I think maybe they could even go with the idea that, you know, he could flash on something that helps, like being able to fight in Kung Fu, but it runs out before, like, the situation calls for it to, or something like that. I don't know. There's a lot that they can play with the direction that they went. Mm-hmm. And I think it can make for a, you know, one of those change-ups in the show where the show can maintain its what's good about it, but also give it a different element to play with so that it doesn't become exactly the same.
Now, there's anything that Ryan and I learned from our trip to California, it's that, why don't we just let the writers decide? We had a long conversation about what was going to happen on Greek, and we came to the agreement universally that they know what they're doing. Follow them.
Better than us?
Yeah.
I wasn't questioning that. I just was trying to get a feel for what we thought, because my problem with the idea that Chuck will no longer know Kung Fu is that when he flashes on something, yes, he only gets partial information, and I can see the possibility that he will flash and not get, like, all of the knowledge of how to do something. And that, you know what I mean, could be good for comedic purposes. And for other purposes, because really they added this stuff to The Intercept, and it wasn't like they tested it on anybody. So certainly there can be problems with the way it works. But my problem with him forgetting the Kung Fu is he doesn't forget the information he flashes on at the moment. Like, he doesn't, like, flash on who somebody is and then forget who that person is again. Right. You know what I mean? So, like, that was my problem with the idea that they somehow taught him Kung Fu, which I don't quite understand how that works anyway. But if it did, why would he suddenly forget it? But I'm sure they'll have an explanation for it. I just was curious what everybody else thought. All right. Anyway. I really liked it.
Story short, Chuck better come back.
Exactly.
Much love. NBC has explaining to do.
Because we know that they're listening. So, part of our vast audience. So,
you better be.
Bring it back.
They'll be broadcasting it at their in-front party.
Yeah, so. They better. It'd be amazing.
Now you feel the pressure, Jason, to get it done by Monday night. All right. We're being stupid now, or I'm being stupid now.
You lost?
No.
Shut up. Is that all we had to say about Chuck?
I could talk for a while on stuff that happened in that episode and how good it was.
Yes, but we don't have forever, so.
So we're done with Chuck.
Well, you know.
Till next season, NBC. Yeah. Okay, Fringe.
I kind of forget what happened.
Wow, must have been a great episode.
You told me. No.
Who cares that the sister's getting a divorce? Does anybody else care?
No, it's just there so that Olivia has something else to deal with. I love that I have a meeting. I'll talk to you later. And they're about ready to raid a restaurant. Provide a little extra comic levity in the situation.
John Noble continues to be that show for me.
Oh, definitely.
He's just so awesome.
Although I did like the the line, you know, one, you know, one crazy, you know, whatever, what was it exactly? One crazy scientist is my limit. You know, he's got two scientists in the, two wacky scientists in the lab.
What do you think the chances are for that show? Do you think that's coming back?
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
I talked to Jessica Nicole Astrid, and I said, like, what does the network think of, you know, what about you guys? And she didn't act like it wasn't coming back. She was like, well, we're all excited for the move to Vancouver. So, like, I think they're all convinced they're coming back.
I think it's coming back.
It is one of the highest rated shows. I mean, new shows.
I think it'll be back.
I hope so.
Can I just flash back to the episode before last really fast?
Yeah.
Because you talked about...
Flashback. Astrid. Go.
You talked about Astrid, and I just love that line where he's talking about what it was, the dream episode, what could be happening with Olivia. And he's like, oh, you know, astral. And Astrid goes, Astrid. He's talking about astral projection.
Because she said that John's like notorious for just filling in a name for her. Because like Walter's not supposed to remember her name ever. And right. In one episode, he called her Afro. But that didn't stick because he didn't want to offend anybody. But she's like, it would have worked. My hair is an Afro. Love it.
That's funny. But yeah, that made me laugh because... Because he never remembers her name, so it like fit that he would be like getting close to her name, and so that's what she was thinking. But I knew instantly that he was talking about astral projection because of the conversation they were having. But it just made me laugh when she's like, Astrid, and he like looks at her like, what? Astral projection. This is funny.
I'm enjoying the show. I'm glad that I stuck with it. Because there was a point where I was like, I'm not going to be able to do this. I can't watch Fringe. And then I decided that I could, and I love it.
You have to give it some time to grow into it.
Which I'm glad that Fox did. Like, Fox, they can kind of be notorious for not giving that option.
They can, but I think, you know, JJ, I think they couldn't let that go.
It was also getting, you know, good enough ratings, even while people were questioning whether it was
you know,
good or not, that it wasn't in danger of being... you know, yanked or anything.
That's true.
All right,
Olivia's
Fringe.
Gotten better.
Yes, she has.
Okay.
What's next?
We're done with you, Fringe. Moving on.
Until next year. No, there's still like 4 episodes.
It's till the next episode.
All right, the big one. Lost.
It's Lost time, bitches. I've already said that word like 18 times this podcast, so there's no cleaning up. I loved it. This episode made me cry. A lot.
It made you cry?
It did.
Ugh.
I'm sorry.
Sad.
Have I offended you?
I was trying to think.
Were you trying to think of what was sad?
No, I was trying to think of... No, I said sap.
Oh.
It was sad. And I think Jeremy Davies is one of our generation's best criers.
I'll give you that. Since I just went to 17 again last night, and Michelle Trachtenberg is one of our worst, our generation's worst criers.
Oh, I could have told
you
that. She's terrible.
He was definitely a good crier.
But what did everybody think of the episode?
I thought it was good. I really liked it, I guess.
You say with hesitation.
No, I really did. I liked it, but like I don't... It's funny because I liked it a lot while we were watching it and when it got done. But now that a few days have passed, like I'm not like all eager to watch it again. So I'm not sure how much if I loved it or if I just really liked it.
I gotcha.
Yeah, I thought it was really good because it sort of was like a loose end tire upper, you know, or just certain little things out there that you may have thought or weren't sure about, and that they dropped little bits of information to like clear things up that yes, this was the case, you know, like, because I don't believe that's happened before, like you know, Widmore was behind, you know, definitely behind the plane, and and then you find out that, you know, Daniel is not just her son but their son, and so you find out there was a lot of things in there that you were pretty sure that you knew, but had never been explicitly confirmed. And so this sort of, you know, gave you a lot of that, those type of answers.
She shot her own son.
She didn't
Worse? No. What's worse
is that future.
She got older. She still pushed her son to go back so that she could kill him.
I don't think she was pushing him to go back so she could kill him. I think she was trying to, she was hoping he would change what happened, in my opinion.
Well, it still has that, you know, that mind bender type of thing, though, at the end where he's like, you know, you sent me back knowing what would happen.
Right.
Well, it's true. She did send him back knowing what would happen. And I think the fact that he keeps saying over and over again that you can't change what happens, like, she must have known, you know what I mean? That he wouldn't be able to change it. But I think she was hoping that he would, or that he would come to the same conclusion that he came to, that maybe you could change what happens. I'm not sure I believe that what he thinks is true is true. Like, I'm not sure you can actually change things. Because here's my problem with them changing it. What happens to the Jack and the Kate that exist now in the past when they change the future? You know what I mean? Those people don't exist anymore in the future, so...
That's always the mind-bender type thing with any type of time travel shows, is whether you can or can't change, you know, or if you do change something, how does that affect you now?
Right.
Because, or in some sense, you're doing stuff before, you know, or like before you in some respects, and so who knows with I guess if you change something, that other timeline or the, you know, the you're just like, there's just like another one of you or something. I don't know. That's the thing that with playing with time is always difficult. Is there's certain paths that
think they can change it.
There's certain paths that if you head down, is it brings up so many different questions about different things. But see, even with what's happening now, if they're trying to do things, but ultimately things don't change, there's still that question, is they're doing stuff in the past. And while it may be now causing things to happen that had already happened, how did that happen the first time? It still gives you that same question, you know?
But think back to, remember when Desmond was trying to stop Charlie from killing himself, or stop Charlie from dying, not from killing himself. Mm-hmm. That's what I always keep going back to, is how it was time, or the universe was self-correcting. Like, even though Charlie didn't die at that moment, the universe kept saying, well, he's supposed to be dead, so something else is going to happen to try, you know what I mean? So my thing is, maybe,
like in Final Destination.
Maybe Eloise sent him back hoping that it wouldn't happen again, knowing that most likely it would happen. Even if she didn't send him back, something would, you know what I mean? Like, even if she didn't make sure that he went back to the island, maybe something else would have made sure that he went back to the island and it would have happened anyway. But if she at least got him working on time travel and understanding how everything worked, maybe he would find a way to change it.
Yeah. Okay.
Or maybe that's just hopeful thinking, because I do believe that she loved him more so than I believe that, like, Charles Widmore, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if I believe Charles Widmore has any feeling. I don't know. I'm conflicted about Widmore. I go back and forth. Like, sometimes I like him. Like, sometimes I think he's, like, on the borderline of being a good guy. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes this episode, like, he actually has, like, he seemed like he had less feelings for Daniel than Ellie, who actually, you know, has to send him back knowing that she kills him. I guess that's maybe why my thoughts about the feeling the show are conflicted at the, I mean, not the show, the episode are conflicted, because I liked it. But then when I think about all of the implications of what Daniel was saying, I just don't know how that affects everything. So that makes me all not sure if I liked it.
Did you guys watch the previews for next week?
Yes. No, I didn't.
They're reading, like, Daniel's journal, which tells you everything that's going to happen. Like, if, and this is my problem with the show, if it ends up that they work all this way for Jack and Kate to change time and have everything work smoothly and them all be back at Flight Oceanic 815 and land in L.A. where they don't know each other, I'll be pissed.
You mean at the very end of the show, if that's how it turns out?
Yeah, if that's what we're working for, like, kind of like Life on Mars.
This show never happened.
Yeah, the plane flies by and doesn't crash. on the island and it just lands.
And nobody knows anybody. Nobody falls in love. It just pisses me off.
I don't know, except I think that maybe, well, you could end up with an ending where somehow they do bump into each other, you know, trying to get a cab or and other characters that have previously died aren't dead but end up still,
but
you know,
they won't know
meeting.
Each other. Like, they won't know each other. They won't care.
But sort of the universe self-correcting thing, they still shows you them meeting, you know, getting their luggage at the, you know, at the carousel.
I'm not
or
happy with that.
Or you know,
I understand why you would be happy with it, because you devoted.
Were Saeed and why am I blanking on what, Shannon? You know, still alive. Meet Jack and Kate. Still meet. You know.
Yeah. So my point is, they still meet, but they don't have the history, so they don't know each other. And I know we're talking about this like it's going to happen, but we don't know.
But then it goes. But it leaves you going forward that they're all going to be together. It leaves you.
No. Here's the reason nobody would like that. Nobody's going to like that because we just spent five fucking years or six fucking years watching a show that absolutely meant nothing. That's why nobody's going to like it. Everybody's going to be like, yeah, I just wasted 5 years on stuff that, 6 years on something that supposedly didn't happen because they corrected it. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's why people would have a real problem with it. Which isn't
so
logical.
Keep that
either.
In mind, Min and Carlton, as you write the next 17 episodes. I'm watching just, you.
You know, they're going to be sitting there going, oh man, we've had this idea for this whole time of how it's going to end.
Now we can't use it.
And now we can't use
Whatever.
It.
Whatever. Let the American life on Mars be a lesson to you.
Exactly.
And all of the hate and everything that came out of St. Elsewhere's ending. Let that be a lesson to you.
Let that be, yes, Damon and Carlton.
Anyway. All right. Because I'm sure you're listening to us.
Well, pretty much anything in a show that somehow negates either the whole show or a portion of a show.
I know, that's what I mean. Like, when you feel like you've devoted time to it. And then it goes away, like, as if it never had any significance at all. Because we spend a lot of time thinking about it and whatever. And in this instance, it would be a little bit different because
it's like a
the
giant
characters
practical
themselves
joke.
Would have changed it. But it's still, I think it kind of cheats us of their, like, everything that those characters have gone through and everything that we've been, like, excited to see them go through. And then in the end, all of it is gone anyway. It doesn't matter, you know? I don't know. And then I think about why would Kate want it to go back to normal? Because if Kate has to go back to normal, Kate's in jail and no hope of a trial to get out of jail like she had this time. Know what I mean?
Right.
Whatever.
Good episode. Can't wait to see what happens in the finale. Well, the next three episodes, the one and then the finale.
Do we have two more episodes?
Yep. 3 hours, 2 episodes, technically.
I couldn't remember. All right. Moving on to this past week's Dollhouse, which was an excellent episode in my humble opinion.
I thought it was pretty good. I mean, you know, I don't love the show, but I'm watching it. I've watched every episode. I thought it was one of the better ones. Love me some Jane. Love me some Alan Tudyk.
You think you would enjoy it because Echo was hardly in it.
I was getting there. believe me, I was getting there. And the Echo that was in it, I didn't hate. So it was a big step in a good direction for me. Jane Espenson, it has to be said, is one of my favorite writers. Alan Tudyk and Tomo as buddy cops was comic genius, the two of them. I thought they were fantastic. And just the ability he has to flip a switch. So good.
I know. He's so good. I really wish, and I know Amory and I talked about this before the show started, I really wish I hadn't known that, not that Alan was going to be on the show. I mean, I really kind of wish I hadn't known he was going to be on the show at all, but I had been spoiled that Alan was playing Alpha.
Yeah,
and
me too.
A long, like, months ago. I want to say it was, like, after the very first episode, because after the first or second episode, it was right after we found out about Alpha, so it wasn't very long afterwards that I got spoiled about Alan playing Alpha. And that really makes me mad, because this episode would have been 10 times, 100 times better if I hadn't known. I mean, they had kind of convinced me about halfway through the episode that the rumors
were
wrong.
It was somebody else. Yeah.
Right. not that it was somebody else, but they had kind of convinced me that the rumors were wrong because I couldn't figure out how this person could be Alpha. And then, of course, I should have thought about the fact that Alpha would be acting as somebody else, but I didn't. But even still, I wasn't as shocked as I would have been had I been watching it with no prior thought of Alan being Alpha.
Right.
Well, for me, I hadn't heard that or don't recall having heard that about him, you know, him going to be Alpha, but I knew he was in this episode, and I knew from, you know, promos and everything else that Alpha is revealed in this episode. So having those two bits of knowledge going into the episode, it wasn't long into the episode before I was like, he's going to be Alpha. So in some respects, I still knew too much information that mm-hmm. by the time you got to like the reveal, it wasn't a big surprise to me like it was for some.
I am super bummed about Victor's case.
maybe Victor will get to play somebody in the dolls, since it's possible that Saunders is actually a doll.
Yeah, I was going to say, what do you think about that? Do you think she is
a doll? I don't know.
Okay, so do you like me to explain it to you? Because you sound like you don't know what we're talking about.
No, I know what the, you know.
Not you, Jason. Amory.
Oh.
Yeah.
Have you seen anybody talking about it?
Yeah.
Whiskey is another.
I feel like they were confused about it.
Yeah. Whiskey is another, like the, what is that called? Those names. Tango, Alpha.
Army call sign?
Yeah. Thank you. Whiskey. I keep saying Wisco. I don't know why. Whiskey is another one of those. So when, what's his face? When Victor is implanted. I'm blanking out a name. What's his name?
Dominic.
Thank you. It was such an easy name too.
When he was so, Inver did so awesome as Reed, like as Reed Diamond's character. He was so good as
he did. Dominic. He was kind of amazing, actually.
Yeah.
So when like Dominic comes out in Victor, he looks at Dr. Saunders, and instead of saying like her name or whatever, he says whiskey, and they play it off like he wants a glass of whiskey. Like she says, he wants a glass of whiskey, but she's a doll, so she wouldn't know that that's her actual doll name. Do you know what I'm saying?
Interesting. I didn't even think about it.
And it's kind of unclear to be because nobody else reacts to it. But then later, Alpha actually says something like, "You always wanted to be a doctor," or
and she says yes, and he says that's a lie. But people are going off on that as maybe. He actually killed the doctor when he escaped, and this is a doll that's just been implanted with. And I was like, well, I guess that's possible, except, and I guess if they changed something else so that you wouldn't recognize.
Yeah, I don't think he.
Because, like, when Dominic is, he looks and he can tell, that he, the memory is that have been implanted, that he doesn't look like. He looks and he's like, oh, I'm in Victor's body. And so the people that are saying that she was implanted with, she was just a doll that got cut or whatever. No,
I was thinking, I don't know that I think that I think she's more like Dominic in the sense that they, after what happened, they made her a doll, in my opinion. Or maybe she was like Alpha, where Alpha was originally, or I still think Alpha, I don't know this for sure, I still think Alpha was originally part of the organization and then made into Alpha. But anyway, I just wanted to ask what everybody thought about it because it had up in conversation today.
I apparently hadn't seen that, so news to me.
Anyway, I thought it was a really good episode.
Yeah, I mean, I will say that. I thought it was pretty good too. And it's been growing on me. I don't love it. But I'm going to keep watching it.
Well, that's the other thing, though, that discussion brings up is, like, who else possibly, that you don't think is, could be. Having that thought that the doctor is actually a doll brings up the idea of the possibility that is, Topher or anybody else actually.
I feel like Topher and Adele couldn't be. I just don't see how they could be. And I don't know. What if Paul Ballard is?
I don't think Paul is. They've gone to a lot of trouble, too.
They've sent a lot of dolls to keep him from finding
it. Yeah.
I did like that one part where he sees Victor, and other stuff, and he starts realizing that there's a good chance that a lot of things that he's been doing have been roadblocks thrown up, that nothing's really happened.
Yeah.
That is a slight problem for the show, like that, you know how we talk about on Heroes how having like Peter and Siler have like the ability to have all the powers, that it kind of negates the fact like everything else because they're always all powerful. One thing about the dollhouse that I could see a potential problem with is the idea that they could make anybody a doll and just suddenly pull that out on, you know what I mean? And we'd have theoretically no clue. As long as they always like kind of lay the groundwork for it, I would be okay with it. But if they just suddenly kept doing it with everybody being a doll, that would kind of annoy me because they could use it kind of as a crutch and we would never know because, you know what I mean? They could always change their mind at the last second.
And it would lose the shock value if they ever needed to like really do something to shock us.
Exactly. So yeah. Anyway. All right. I'm done with that.
Mm-hmm, me too. All right. Where do we stand?
I just want to mention it because we always bitch about the show. Well, I don't always bitch about the show, but you guys always bitch
about
the show.
You don't, but I do.
So I wanted to bring it up when it was actually a good episode.
Yeah. You wanted to hear positive reinforcement.
I think, and last week, I think even Miles got in a shot or two.
Yes, he did. Anyway, I have to get ready for a bachelorette party tonight, guys.
All right,
in 3 weeks.
You're going to what?
I'm in a wedding in 3 weeks.
Are you going to Twitter as you're walking down the aisle?
Colleen would kill me if I had my cell phone out of the church. But don't worry, I'll take plenty of pictures at the wherever we're having. What is it called? The reception.
Could you just Twitter when you're standing up at the altar, but she can't see you, like just on the side?
Yeah. Can you imagine if I did? Oh my God.
Standing at the altar.
I would love it. Colleen, not so much, so I don't think she would love it.
All right. So, hey, if you want to talk to us about something we said in this episode.
Oh, hey! If you want to turn us into whatever governs racially insensitive conversation.
Exactly. If you'd like to bitch us out for our insensitivity, if that's how it came across, feel free.
We promise if it did, we are so sorry.
It would be greatly appreciated. Yeah.
You can leave a voicemail comment on our Snapvine widget on our website at tvtimes3.com. Oh, Amory.
Spell it all out.
Thank you. I was like, you disappoint me. On the in the middle sidebar. Or you can leave comments on this post. Or you can email us through the website. We appreciate all the emails we've been getting, by the way.
Well, we appreciate most of the emails we've been getting.
I think you all should pick on me now because you've picked on Amory and Jason enough.
Yeah, you know who you are.
I make up words, so you can pick on me for that.
Oh, I looked it up on my phone. Inequality is a word.
Thank you. What's that called? Like I make a juxtaposition of multiple words and I say that as one word. So if you want to make fun of that, that's fine.
And then out of nowhere, Amory laughs at it just to fill time.
Oh, I love it.
All right. Because we need to fill time?
Yeah.
I didn't realize we were lacking in the amount of time we take to record things.
Anyway.
Okay. And you can also leave us some feedback on iTunes if you so desire.
No. Not if. That's a requirement.
That's a requirement to listen these days?
If you're going to listen, you better be filling out something.
Oh, God. Okay, so next week, what are we talking about next week? Foreign actors? We're gonna keep on our diversity kick for May.
Wait, is it foreign actors?
It is Chris Vaughn's. Like, that's what I have. Is that right?
Chris Vaughn is back, everybody.
Yeah, I think that why he thought it was, or about all the different actors that we have, but they're playing American. You know, yes. like in Hugh The Mentalist Lark. Or House or
Simon Baker.
Or just lots of shows.
Sorry. Yes, we will be talking about that next week. So if you have an opinion about that, please chime in. All right. Our music was provided by iodapromonet.com. The song is TV Party by the Asylum Street Spankers on their Mercurial title put out by Yellow Dog Records.
Sounds so much better when you do it.
Just for the record, I actually have it written in front of me. So I don't have the whole thing written. I have like the name, the song, whatever. But I've also had multiple podcasts to get used to it, Amory.
Exactly.
I did laugh at listening to you do it last week, though.
After it, I like throw my hands up in the air. I'm like, I win. Like, I got it. Done.
I made it through successfully. All right, you guys.
And this one is for Kath if she made it this far. Cappy!
Oh, you guys. I did tell everybody how Zac Efron was everywhere in L.A. when I went to see
Zac
17.
Efron was everywhere in L.A. Everywhere.
Then again, after watching the movie, I have to agree that he's a hottie, so he probably deserves to be everywhere. All right. On that note.
Anyways, on that really, really tangential note.
Well, the podcast's not over until Amory says,
I gotta eat. Oh, guys. Guys.
Okay. All right. Ciao.
Ciao.
We sit glued to the TV set all night.
And every night.
Why go into the outside world at all?
It's such a fright.
We got nothing better to do than watch TV and have a couple of brews.
I had to get it out. I was going to start, and I started laughing. Okay. Hello, and... No. Welcome to... Hello,
and welcome. Awesome.
Sorry.
I guess I should have done it anyways.
But now I just... You know, I haven't done it in, like, 2 weeks now. I don't remember when Amory and I recorded. Okay.